Okay, so apparently I'm preaching this morning. My Christmas gift to you will be a very short sermon, because I was looking through these readings and thinking, I kind of got stuck with Isaiah, and I thought, I got stuck in the first sentence. Beautiful passage if you have the chance to go and read Isaiah 52. The notes are in your bulletin. Take the bulletin with you. You can go and look up these verses later. But Isaiah 52 opens with, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news." And my dance teacher just said, and I do have a dance teacher, just said last week, "What interesting feet I have." And then she actually said, "Weird feet," because they've got really high arches, and so I can't point them. So I got stuck on the feet thing. So I decided against Isaiah. And then I looked at the letter to the Hebrews. And long ago, and in many and various ways, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets. And I thought, I'd love to do a series on the prophets, but it might take a bit more than my Christmas gift to you as a short sermon to do the prophets and to talk about all this stuff about angels being flames of fire. I don't know if you picked that up. There was this wonderful thing. God makes his angels flames of fire. And I thought, I'm not even beginning on angelology. There's a whole branch of theology called angelology. So I thought I'd leave Hebrew. So I looked at John and I thought, okay, so some of us are maybe feeling a little blurry at this point in the Christmas celebrations. Yesterday, particularly for those of us who were in church three times at least, was a really long day. And we're reading some of the deepest theology that the church has to offer. We call it incarnational theology, and we don't always think about what that means in incarnational theology. Bill spoke beautifully yesterday evening and reminded us of the vulnerability of God coming in the form of a baby, and how babies open something up in us. And that is the root of incarnational theology. And we sing a lot of incarnational theology over the Christmas time. I made a couple of notes. "Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel." Anyone name that tune? That would be? Go on. I heard someone say it. You've got to hear that it's Hark the Herald Angels. Or Hark Harold, as someone called it the other day. How about this one? "God of God, light of light, lo, he abhors not the virgin's womb. Very God, begotten, not created." Anyone? Anyone? "Oh, come all ye..." There we go. I'm not going to... I promise not to... That's another Christmas gift I won't sing too much. But in those couple of sentences and in the readings that we hear are some of the most complicated theology we could ever try and wrap our heads around. They're called incarnational theology because they talk of a God who didn't just look like a human being, didn't kind of come in on an away day trip and dress up in a human suit, but a God who became, who was enfleshed, who was solid and earthy and struggled and laughed and lived and died and cried, just as each one of us does. In our gospel reading, we have this wonderful piece of incarnational theology, the introduction, the prologue to the Gospel of St. John. There's no birth narrative in St. John. All we have is this amazing piece of cosmic theology. My first incumbent that I worked with back in England on the outskirts of London, a place called Hampton, you may have heard of Hampton Court, it's very, very nice, very genteel, he wouldn't have that reading at Christmas until it became compulsory to have it at least one of the services that you have over Christmas, because he said it wasn't really fair to inflict that kind of theology on people when they just wanted to celebrate. And so here we are. We have it on Christmas morning, our nice, quiet, simple service with this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It's really, really deep, and yet we come back to one thing every time we gather, every time we celebrate Christmas, And in the Christmas that we hold throughout the year, that again Bill has reminded us of, and for those of us who heard him recently, we celebrate it because it's all about love. It's the love of God reaching out to us and entering into our humanity so that we can enter into God's divinity. If you ever see a priest mumbling away at the altar as we're saying and preparing for services, there are certain prayers that we always say. And we, the one I was taught when we put water into the chalice is, bless, O Lord, this water and this wine. May we enter into Christ's divinity as Christ entered into our humanity. Because it reminds us of that sharing of God's life through flesh. And God did it all because, now can anyone quote the third chapter of John, verse 16? Thank you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We all gather here today. Anytime we gather, anytime we meet together for prayer or worship or comfort or care, for that one reason, because the love of God enters into our world in every act of love, and the love of God entered into our world in the life of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, and a very Merry Christmas.